We're going to finish up this series today. We've been talking about healing, and I'm just going to recap a little bit of what we talked about today because it goes right into what we're what we talked about last time because it goes right into what we're talking about today. But you can go ahead and turn to Mark 4:13, and we're going to run through this quick. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I think it's really important to start there, Mark 4:13, because this thing, we're talking about the parable of the sower. This, the concepts that Jesus is talking about here are so important to the Christian life. They answer so many questions if we'll understand these things. So, in verse 13, so we read the actual parable. That the sower sowing seeds and it falls on different types of ground and there's different results for the different types of ground. And then in verse 13, Jesus is explaining this. And he says, in verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And this is very foundational. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. See, the seed is the word. The word of God is what's sown. By somebody speaking it, by us reading it, it's sown. And this has everything to do with healing. It has everything to do with receiving anything from God. The word of God, when we hear God's word on a subject, that's when the word is sown. Now, what is Jesus is telling us what happens when that word is sown. Satan is out to get the word. The word is what makes us strong. The word is what makes us able to handle the problems of life God's way. The word is what enables us to overcome. The Holy Spirit quickens the word to us. The Holy Spirit uses the word. And so the word is the crux of everything. So Satan is after the word. And it says in verse 14, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately. He'll do that through whatever way he can do. I mean, if you're hearing me speak right now, doesn't matter if it's me, if somebody else speaking, if they're speaking the word, he'll use any means he can to steal it from you immediately. If he can, he'll distract you. He'll say, well, what's that over there? You know, what's that noise over there? Your mind goes wandering off. The word's being spoken. It's gone. You didn't hear it. He'll say, look at that guy's haircut. I don't like that. What is he doing that? You know, he can't have anything good to say. Look at his haircut. Look at his clothes. I don't like how he's saying that. He'll do anything he can to steal it from you right there, if he can. He'll anything he can. If he knows how to push your buttons, he'll get you off. The word's gone. You discounted the word because of something else. He's got you. That's when, you know, the seed's sown, the birds pluck it up, it's not gonna bear any fruit. So then he goes on, and we're going to go through this quickly because we talked about this last week, but we're going to go right into what we're talking about today, and you see how it's vital. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves and endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So then there's the people that it falls on stony ground. So, the seed starts to come up a little bit, but then it shrivels. Well, the word is sown, and we can receive it with gladness. We receive it with joy. We're excited about it. We think, this is the answer I've been waiting for. This is what I need. And then something happens that contradicts what the word says, or some other trouble comes up. In the case of healing, something comes up, your body doesn't look like it's healed. Tribulation because of the word. And if we don't have root, guess what? We say, what? This doesn't work. Forget it. Satan stole it that way. He couldn't get you. Maybe he couldn't get you right off the bat. The word was spoken and you didn't discount it. You weren't distracted by something in the next room. You weren't distracted by the speaker. You weren't distracted by something else in your mind. You know, some background thing, but you received it as the word of God and you went after it. You were joyful, but then nothing, you know, your life didn't change immediately. Everything didn't line up. It didn't all look different. And so you drop it. You say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Well, Satan got you that way. He took the word. Now, verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So then there's the person that receives it. They're glad. But then they go down the line, they say, this is it. And they start, you know, to go after the word. But then other things choke it out. Where, you know, you believe it's the word of God, but then there's a TV program on, or there's something else that you have a hobby. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But you let those things crowd out the word. You let them choke the word. You start going in another area. You get distracted to where you're going on something else, spending your time on something else, so you don't put the word in. And guess what? It chokes the word. And so the word doesn't work. And then we say, well, the word doesn't work. It just doesn't work. No, it got choked. It got choked. It's not the word that doesn't work. It's that we're not letting the word work. It's just like the natural example of the seed. The seed was trying to grow, but the thorns choked it out. Any one of those times, Satan will try to get the word any way he can, and he knows you. Don't be deceived. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's been around for thousands of years doing this to men. He's seen every kind of person. He knows every kind of personality. He knows every kind of circumstance. He knows exactly what to do to you to get you off the word. He knows what you're going to be offended by. He knows what'll push your buttons. He knows what straw will break the camel's back. The only thing that'll make you a conqueror is to hold on to the word, regardless of what comes your way. Not to let anybody else push you off, not to let offense push you off, not to let the deliverer of the word push you off, not to let somebody's attitude push you off, to stick to the word. Because men will fail you. God will not. And so it says in verse 20, these are the ones who are sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. That's what we want to be. We want to be receptive. We want to believe that the word of God is true no matter what. We receive the word into fertile ground. We don't let it be stolen right away. When tribulations come, we hold on to the word. When we don't let other things crowd the word out, then we see the crop. Then we see the result. That is the way the word works in a nutshell. But notice there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of things that can happen, that Satan will bring against you to make sure, or to try to make sure, that you don't see the word working in your life, to say that it's not fruitful. Now, we're talking about healing. This applies to anything. What we're really talking about today is faith. But we're talking about it in the context of healing. Faith is, so the word is going to affect your faith. What's faith? It's believing that the word you've heard is true. And faith is not some religious term. All it is being convinced that the word, that what God said is true. Or really, that anything, any given thing is true. If I'm convinced, I've used this illustration before, but if I'm convinced, somebody told me this chair is stable. If I'm convinced, totally convinced, I'll sit on it. I'm not concerned at all that it's going to give way. I'm convinced. But if I'm not sure, then I look at it, but let's say it's just some old rickety chair. Somebody told me it was stable, but I don't believe it. I mean, I'm looking at it. My eyes don't tell me it's stable. It looks like it's about to fall apart. I say, well, I believe it's stable, I tell them, but I won't sit on it. I don't believe it. See, I'm letting something in the natural, my eyes, deceive me into believing this is not stable. It's the same way it happens with God's word. We see something in the word of God, but then something out here distracts us. Something makes us, it tries to pull us off to make us believe what we heard is not true. That's exactly what we just read in that parable. That's what happens every day to people. That's why they give up. That's why they think it doesn't work. It does work. But having faith is just believing what God has already provided, what he said, what he promised. The way we receive it, though, is by faith. See, if it wasn't by faith, there is something we have to do. Jesus has provided everything, but we have to act on it. If we don't act on it, it won't be ours. And if we don't believe it, it won't be ours. How do we believe it? We believe what he said regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what anybody else says. We don't let any of those things that we just read in the parable get us off. We don't let offense get us off. You know, we see somebody that's preaching the word. We don't like their lifestyle, so we throw away the word with them. That's offense. We lose the benefits of the word because of them. You know, we let something else get in our way. See, this is exactly what happens. We believe the word and we go down, but then we still fill ourselves with TV and all these things. And I'm not condemning anybody, but this is just the truth. If we let these things crowd out the word, we cannot have faith. Because we want to believe, we believe the word, but we have all these other things coming in. The world is telling us there's no God. The world doesn't believe the way we do. The world doesn't believe that you should go to God to be healed. They believe you should go to the doctor. So you see people sick. You see all these things. You're filling yourself with that. And when you fill yourself with that, then you go and try to believe for your healing. Guess what? You don't have faith. You're not convinced anymore that God's word is true. You're convinced of this other thing. It's just like this chair. You've been listening to a bunch of people. If all you are telling me in this room, no, that's not going to hold you. No, it's not. And I was convinced. I was originally thought that this was going to hold me. But then I say, well, it's, I don't know. All these people think it's not. I'm the only one. Well, I'm not going to sit on it. The fact that that chair could hold me change? Nope. What changed? I didn't believe it anymore. See, Jesus has provided healing for us. But if it just fell on everybody and we didn't have to do anything, then everybody would be healed. No, we have to do something. What do we have to do, though? We just believe. We believe until we see it. We don't give up. See, when we give up, when we start saying, oh, I don't know, I tried it, it doesn't work. Guess what? We got deceived somehow. Somewhere in that parable, we got deceived. Somehow, something crowded it out, so we're not putting the word in, so that that will dominate us, so that it doesn't matter what comes, that we believe it, we believe it, we believe it. I don't care. I believe it. It's true. See, when we start saying, well, I don't know. What, it's not working. We didn't believe it. Do you see how simple it is that we, it's just believing God. That's all he gave us to do is believe him in the spite. And if we get to the point where we believe it, we'll see it. But we get deceived. We live in a fallen world. We have all kinds of stuff. We get, somehow Satan is going to, he's going to push your buttons to try to get you off. And when you get off, you drop it. It doesn't work. But every blessing of God is like this. Now we're going to read a couple illustrations. Let's go to Mark 5:21. You know, before we go there, let's stop. Let's go. A couple places. I just want to show you, you know, this principle. 1 John 5:14. Let's go there. First John 5:14. See, healing is just like salvation. We receive salvation by faith. Healing's part of the package. Have any of you seen Jesus face to face? Nobody in here has gone on to eternity for good. Obviously, we're all here. But you say you believe that Jesus has saved you. You read the word. You are staking your eternal destiny on what you say. I mean, get down to it. You believe, somehow you were told, you saw it in the word, you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Have you ever met Jesus? Were you there 2,000 years ago? Do you know for a fact, other than the word of God, that what you believe isn't just a bunch of hogwash? Why do you believe it? It's because of the word. That this testimony, why do you believe it? Do you see Jesus? Do you see God? Do you know anybody that's come back to tell you, yep, it's true, I've seen heaven, it's all true? No. What do you believe it for? You believe it because it's in the word. You are staking your eternal destiny on this. Yet, in healing or anything else, we read it and then we give it up. We say, well, I can't see it yet. You can't see eternity. But you believe it. You say you believe it. We got to get down. If I believe that, well, it's the same thing. I believe God's word. I'm going to see it. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it says. I don't care. I heard somebody say that. I don't care if I'm not healed. My last words are going to be, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. You have to get to the place where you believe it regardless of what you see. Then you believe it because it's the word. Otherwise, you're not really convinced. And if you're not convinced, it doesn't take a matter of willpower to just believe real hard. It's a matter of putting the word in. And if you put the word on, you're convinced, then just stay there. It's not a cycle that we just have to, oh, I just don't know if I'm convinced. Well, you know if you're convinced. I know if I believe that chair, if I'm healed or not. And if I believe it, then just stay there. Don't be pushed off. Don't be pushed off by anything. And if you don't, if you're not pushed off, you're going to see it. Or God's a liar. One of the two. If you're, and I said this a couple weeks ago, in Hebrews writer, Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians. They are being told that Jesus isn't the Christ, that to come back. In Hebrews 10, 23 or whatever it is, it says, hold fast your confession. In context, that's talking about your salvation. He's saying, don't chuck it. Don't chuck it. You're on the right track. Your confession, when you talk about confession, it means to say the same thing. So you confess that Jesus is your Lord. Keep saying the same thing. It's the same way with healing. It's the same way with anything else. We believe it. We believe we've received healing. Then we just say, you know what? I'm healed. It doesn't look like, I don't care. God said I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. It's not a works thing that we just say it over and over. No, it's not a works thing. It's believing that you already have it. And no matter what, you're convinced. What if it takes 3 years? I don't care. See, if you're letting time determine if you believe or not, you're not convinced the word's true on its own. Does time have anything to do with whether you believe you're saved? No. What if you live to be 110, you still haven't seen Jesus? Does that mean it's not true now? No, it just means you have very good, you're in very good health and you're living a long time. Why do we let a little thing like time, a little clock like that that's mechanical with springs in it, it ticks one thing and all of a sudden God's word's not true? So we don't believe God's word. We're judging other things. A symptom comes on us, it doesn't go right away. Satan will tell you it doesn't work. Who says it doesn't work? Who says it? When that voice comes, who says it? Who says, God, it doesn't work? Who is that talking to you? It's the enemy. It's the same one Jesus was talking about that'll come to steal the word. He's trying to steal it from you. Don't let him. Everyone, this is the crux of everything. This is what makes us victorious. Is that we believe God regardless of what we see. Then we see the power of God in manifestation. Then we see it in our lives. Because we don't let Satan steal the word. He's after the word. Well, it doesn't work. It's been, been all this time. It doesn't work. Who said? Who said? You're calling God a liar. Right there. Something's calling God a liar. It's either true or it's not. The chair, you can't sit on the chair. Who said? You know what? I think I'm going to, somebody said it like this. I'm going to choose to doubt my doubts and believe my beliefs. You start having doubts. Well, I don't know if it works. You sure that works? It doesn't work. It doesn't look like it's working to me. I choose to believe it works. Who said it's not working? Think about that. Who said it's not working? Who said it's not working in your life? It is working. It's working. The word of God is working. It's like a seed. It's exactly like a seed, like we just talked about. You plant it in the ground. Do you see anything? Well, it must not be growing. Who said? I'm going to dig it up and see if it's working. Well, it looks the same. Must not be doing anything. Now, we all know where I'm going. We all know that seed is growing, and it varies for some kinds of seed. I've heard a bamboo tree takes something like 4 years where it does nothing. And then in 90 days, the thing grows 90 feet. It's working. It's doing what it's supposed to do. That's just what it takes. I don't know why it's like that, but what if I'm in the, third year, whatever, close to when this thing's supposed to be going, start sprouting up, and I say, oh, it doesn't work. Don't look like it's working. I'm digging it up and going on the next thing. Was it working? It was working. When those thoughts come, it's not working. Say, well, no, I think it is. I believe it is. It's working. I choose to believe it's working. Guess what happens? We stay on God's side. We believe him. It's working. That's all it is. It's that simple. It's faith. And we're going to see that. So we'll read this. Before we go on to the next scripture, 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked. We have it. We know it. If we know he heard us, then we know we have it. See, we have to get to the point where we know we have it before we have it. We know it. Because why? Because God's word says it. When we hear the word, we just have to believe it. When we act on it, how do we believe it? We just believe. We don't act just to try to prove something. See, we people have gotten off because they don't really believe, but they try to make themselves believe. Just the word is what makes us believe. When we have enough understanding that we see something and believe it, then we just stick to it. Like a bulldog, we stick to it. We don't move off it, we believe it. And if that's the case, then we're going to see it. Now, let's turn to Mark 5:21. Now, we're going to go through this illustration. I don't know if we'll have time to go through any other illustrations, but we'll take the time we need. Okay, now, there's two stories here. This is one of my favorite healing stories because this will make it so vividly clear what we're talking about. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers came of the synagogue, came Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Now, this man heard that Jesus heals. He believed that enough to come to Jesus. So he is believing the word. He is having faith in what he heard. He believes that Jesus can heal. He's coming to Jesus. He says, "I hear you can heal. If you come and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed." See, he believes. Okay? All he's doing is believing. He didn't do anything else but believe. Now, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, in the middle of this, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. 12 years she's dealing with this. She says, "This is my answer." So she didn't get offended at that point, say, "Ah, it's some Jewish guy," or, you know, "I don't like him," or she didn't listen to the Pharisees, whatever. She got past that point. She believed that Jesus could do something. So she's pushing through. She comes. She's 12 years. She spent everything she had, was no better. This is a real woman. Real woman did this. This is like today. People spend everything they have. They're no better. They don't have any hope. Doctors don't give them any hope. She hears about Jesus. She didn't reject him at that point. She didn't throw away, some stupid religion. She got past that. She goes. Now there's tribulation. There's wait. She's trying to get to Jesus. And it's not pushing her off. So she says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And she said, this is what she believes. Notice, this is what she believes will happen. "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." If I can touch it, I believe I'm going to be made well. She believes. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you and say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around her to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. That's what he said. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith. There was lots of people there today, that day. She believed God. She drew on that power and believed him and was made well. That's what we have to do. We have to believe God and we have to go after it no matter what. We go after it and say, "I'm not letting go of this. I will not do without what Jesus provided for me." See, it wasn't something she built up. It's not something we build up. Jesus is the one that paid for it. See, it's a balance. Jesus paid for it. Jesus made it available, but we still have to do something about it. And if we won't get pushed off, we'll see it. And if we have a hard time believing, then we just have to make sure we're putting the word in. We have to make sure that we have fertile soil, that we're not getting distracted with all this other stuff. Because as hard as it is, if we let these other things distract us and water that down, we won't be able to believe. See, it's just believing. But if I give my attention to other things, like we read several weeks ago, you know, my son, give attention to my words. You know, don't be distracted with other things. They are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Look at the word and make sure your consciousness is in the word. Then faith is not hard.
But when we dilute it with all these other things and we let distractions come in, that's when it's hard to believe. Yes, it's hard. It will be hard because we're distracted. We believe other stuff. But if we're centered up on God, all we have to do is believe, and we just keep believing. So in verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Your daughter is dead. Okay, so we go back to the other story. This is not just a story. This is somebody's daughter. This man comes to Jesus. He believes Jesus enough. He comes to her and says, "Jesus, you can heal my daughter." Jesus says, "I'm going to come with you. If you come with me, she'll be healed." He's coming with her. This other lady comes, interrupts him. All this stuff's going on. Then these people come up and say, "Don't trouble him anymore. Your daughter's dead." That's your daughter. Imagine that is your daughter. You heard about Jesus and you're coming, and you believe that if you can get Jesus to lay your hands on him or on her, she'll be healed. He says he's coming with you. Something gets, you know, distracts the whole process. Somebody comes and says, "Your daughter is dead. She's dead." Now, these people aren't making this up. The girl's dead. You have a choice. Do I believe Jesus, or this thing that's coming in, am I going to believe that? I have a choice. I can believe what God said and believe the word, or I can believe what my eyes see. I've seen people die before. I know, generally speaking, that's terminal. That's it. What am I going to do? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Happens every day in our lives. Are we going to believe God? Not the same magnitude of thing, but that's what it comes down to. What are you going to believe? You're going to believe what it looks like? You're going to believe God? What does Jesus say to her? So while he's still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." That's what we have to do. That's why I said when somebody comes to you or some symptom tells you it's not working, you say to yourself, "Don't be afraid, only believe. Only have faith." That's all faith is believing. Don't be afraid. Don't get pushed off. No, don't let that push you off. Say, "No, self, you're not going to be afraid. You're going to believe." And you know what? That's why we talk about getting in the Word. That's why we surround ourselves with the Word. It's not some, "Well, if I do it enough, I'll just have faith." No, it's to keep ourselves centered so we're sure the right things are going out, so the right things come up or go in. When we put the right things in, it's easy to believe. When we surround ourselves with faith and love, it's easy to believe. But when we start making it a works thing, "Oh, I just have to do it. Maybe I have faith. No, if you believe it, just stay there. Believe it. Don't get pushed off. That's what this man had to do. Do not be afraid, only believe. I mean, he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Jesus went right into the middle of that and said, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." Well, of course, all these people ridiculed him. Well, you know, the world's at odds with Christianity. It is. Real Christianity. Not religion, not what we've dumbed it down to be, but what we're talking about here. It's at odds. Oh, you know, you have something. They think you're nuts. If you'd say something like this, they would. Well, there's nothing but this natural. No, there is something beyond what these people know. Just because somebody else says something, it's not so. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe you know something they don't know. Maybe you know God that knows how he created the body. Maybe you know God who knows everything, and he said, you know, is somebody going to talk you out of your salvation? They come to and tell you there's no God. You're stupid. You're a fool. There's no God. We've written books about it. Don't you realize God didn't create this whole thing? It just came to be. You're a fool. You know nothing. Science tells us this. You're dumb. Who are you going to believe? You going to let them talk you out of that, your salvation, or are you going to say, no, I have the word of God on it? It's the same thing. If you wouldn't get talked out of your salvation, you shouldn't get talked out of your healing. I don't care what comes. I don't care if I die believing it, it's true. That sounds contradictory, but that's where we have to get to. And when we believe it, in spite of what we see, is when we see it. But if we think, be honest now, if that statement shook us up that says, well, that's stupid, it's not working for you if you die, well, then you're basing whether you believe it or not if it works for you. If it's working for you, you don't know. That's like basing whether or not you think the seed's growing by what you see. Do you see the same? It's the same thing. You're not basing it on the word. You're not basing your faith on the word. You're basing it on what you see or results or whatever, or what you've, your experience. You're not basing it on the word. If we based our salvation that way, we'd be in a mess. So how many people do you know that have verified that Jesus indeed made us right with God, other than what you have, you know, your experience? But, you know, if you want to take this line, you could just be all whacked out and just believe in something, and it's just something stupid in your head. How many people do you know that have come back and verified that it's all true? Nobody. Probably. I'm not going to speak for you. Maybe you have. Maybe you've talked. I don't know. But generally speaking, we're basing it on the word. So why do we do this with healing, that we start, if we're not seeing it, then it's wrong. Then I'm going to throw out the word of God. Then maybe it's all wrong. Maybe it's just a pot. No, it's not. It's true. We have to get to the point where I don't care what's happening. I believe this. And when we get to that point, that's when it works. Because this guy could have stopped. This guy could have said, you know what? I thought this was the way. I thought Jesus was the answer. I thought he had the answer. But you know what? My daughter's dead. I guess not. Forget it. I'm going to go bury my daughter. We wouldn't have heard of him. But we have heard of him because he chose to believe God. So in verse 40, it says, and they ridiculed him. But when they ridiculed him. They ridiculed the Son of God. See, who cares? Who cares what people say about us? Who cares? Who cares if they think we're nuts because we believe this? I don't care. I don't care. They ridiculed the Son of God. They knew what they were doing. I mean, imagine, they ridiculed the one that created them. I mean, that is so ludicrous. Well, so what? I'm a created being. If they're going to ridicule me, I don't care. Fine. I'm in good company. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with them entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talithai kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the little girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. They saw what they were believing. Imagine that. That's your daughter. That's your son. They were dead. You were never going to see them again on this earth. They're alive. Can you imagine how happy you would be? That's because of the power of God. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Thank God that's what we're supposed to be seeing. I mean, that's the thing that's past the natural. When we believe what the Word of God says, see, everything we believe is crazy to natural people anyway. That some man that's really God, you know, it almost sounds like the story that's made up. And so that's why people say, oh, well, see, that's one religion. And then all these other people, see, it's all the same story over and over. No, it is all the same story and over and over. There is one real story. And all these other things are fabrications. Yes, you're right about that. Just because there's a bunch of copies doesn't mean the original is not true, though. Yes, what we believe is nuts. We believe that a man came to the earth, and that he was God, and that he let himself be crucified when he hadn't done anything wrong for us. And if we believe on him, even though we don't have everything together, we are right with God. And yet people that just try their hardest and do everything, if they don't believe on God, they are going to be separated of God, because they haven't taken God's sacrifice in the way God said it. They've set up their own religion and say, no, this is the way it should be. If there's any justice, this should be. And they make the word of God of none effect. They don't choose to believe what is in here. And they say, that's not logical. That's not true. I'm going to make this religion, or I'm going to believe this, and it's all by your works or whatever. So they try to make their own religion, and they reject the word of God and reject what the Creator said. No, this is the way. This is the ransom. You believe my son, that's the payment. You believe him, you're in. You don't believe him, you're out. People reject and say, that's hogwash, that's stupid, I don't believe it. They don't believe the word. Oh, that's stupid, you can't be healed by the power of God. You can't be healed by the power of God. You better go to a doctor, you idiot. Let's get down to it. That's the way it's just nuts, you're foolish. Well, it's the word of God. Either I believe it or I don't. Same thing. We get to the point where we're just like a bulldog. You know what? It's true. I don't care who says it's not true. I believe it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to act on it. And then we're like that man. Then we're like that woman. We see it. By God, it works. Thank God. We can see, it's the same principle. What we're really talking about today is faith. That's the way faith works. Faith is just taking what Jesus has already provided for us. But there is something we have to do. And if we're deceived, see, Satan will go the other way. So, you don't have to do anything. You just got to believe it's all Jesus. Yeah, you'll just sit there and you won't have anything either. But there's a balance. It's not all what you do. It's just taking what Jesus has. I'm going to close with this illustration. Then we're done. But it's like this. Think of your favorite department store. Favorite store, whatever kind of store it is. Car lot, whatever. Have that in your mind. Some place you really like to go to get something. The owner of that store, somebody that has the power, somebody says, you know what? You go in there, you get anything you want. You can go anything, get anything you want in there. You just go and take it out. I'll take care of it. You just go and get it. You go in there and start picking up stuff. Well, I want that, I want that. You start walking out. People are looking at you going, what are you doing? You can't do that. You have a choice to make. Do you believe the people or do you believe the person that told you that has the authority? But they could come, people could be pulling it away from you. No, you can't have it. You can't have it. You can't do that. You're wrong. You're stealing or whatever. You have a choice to make. If you can go out and say, you know what? You could start believing them saying, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I misunderstood the guy. Maybe I thought this. And no, okay, maybe. And now you walk out. That's what a lot of people do with healing. They give it up. They don't trust. They don't believe who they've heard it from. They start giving up. But if, on the other hand, you go in there saying, you know, I know exactly. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm taking this. I'm taking this. I'm taking this. I'm walking out. People bombard you, try to get you to give it up. That's what the Satan will try to do. He don't think that it's just going to be a cakewalk. There are going to be things he's going to send because there is an enemy to steal it. But if you hold on to it, that's believing. That's believing what you've heard. If you believe it, it's yours.